Chapter 1 of the Top 20 Adventures by Jack Wheeler, Climbing the Matterhorn. Probably the most frequently asked question I get regarding the adventures I've had is, what got me started? How did this all begin? Why did you ever decide to lead a life of adventure, devote your life to it? Well, it happened when I was 14 years old. It was a rainy Saturday afternoon in March of 1958. And back in those days, there was no internet or anything else like that. It was on a Saturday, you went out and rode your bike around and saw friends or hiked up in the mountains and you were outside, but it's raining. So I thought, well, better read a book. There's also nothing on television, by the way, back in those days. There were three channels and everything was boring and nothing really to watch. And so I picked up this book that a friend of my father's had given me as a present. Oh, must have been a year, 2-3 years ago. And it had what I thought was a silly title. It said, Richard Halliburton's The Complete Book of Marvels. And I thought, well, why not? So I opened it up and I discovered that Richard Halliburton was a very well-known, a very famous professional adventurer in the 1920s and 30s, an American. And he wrote this book that was published, 1939, so it was 20 years before. And as I looked, there were just his description of things, where he went in the world, black and white photos. But all of a sudden, it dawned on me that here I was, a kid in Glendale, California, had never been anywhere in the world, didn't know much of anything about the world. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh my word, that the world is this magical place, that there were endless adventures to be had all over the world. And Halliburton made this come alive to me. But then I was transfixed by one picture. It was a double spread picture. It was a picture of the Matterhorn. He called it the Tiger of the Alps, the most famous mountain in the world. And I read his description of his climbing it, and I sat there transfixed, just looking at that picture, couldn't keep my eyes off it, staring at that picture. And then suddenly, I found myself, it was no decision, consciously, I found myself getting up out of my chair in my bedroom, carrying the book down the hall to find my father, who himself was reading a book in my parents' bedroom. And he looked up at me, and without saying a word, I laid the book open, Halliburton's book open to the picture of the Matterhorn on his lap. And he looked at the picture and he looked up at me, didn't say anything. And I heard myself saying, Dad, I want to climb that mountain. Again, it wasn't a conscious decision. I just heard myself saying this. And then what happened next is what really changed my life. It's actually what my father didn't do. He didn't laugh. He saw something had hit me, something had touched me, something had happened. I'd never seen anything like this before. I had no mountaineering experience. I had some Boy Scout hikes. That's it. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of absolutely nowhere, I announce that a 14-year-old boy with no experience whatsoever announces to his father that he wants to climb the most famous mountain in the world. And my father didn't laugh. He didn't laugh. He saw something that hit me. So he said, well, let's talk about it. And so I talked, I don't know, I babbled away about how I'd been up on, you know, Boy Scout hikes in the high Sierras of California and altitude and, you know, not much of an altitude, but then again, the Matterhorn isn't that high. It's less than 15,000 feet, but I'd been up to like 10,000 feet or so, and the heights didn't bother me and altitude didn't bother me or blah, blah, blah. And I'm babbling away, and finally I said, well, you know, my father was a television producer and had television shows at a local Los Angeles television station called KTTV. And he said, well, it's very interesting. Matterhorn is in Switzerland, you say? And I said, yes. Yes, sir. I said, well, you've been to the station. Do you recall ever meeting our lighting director? His name is Hannes. And I said, I think so. A nice man. He said, well, Hannes is a very interesting guy. He is Swiss. He's from Switzerland. His name is Hannes Schmidt. And as a matter of fact, Hannes is a very well-known skier. He won the bronze medal in the 1948 Olympics in Switzerland, 10 years ago. So he must know people in Switzerland. He's a famous skier. So I'll ask him what he thinks. How about that? And I said, wow, Dad, that'd be great. Now, what are the odds of that? Right? I had no recollection of this, and I didn't know anything about Hannes. I just said, hello, Hannes, lighting director, right? I didn't know any of his background. So that was a Saturday. My father, he worked in, late at night on a Monday. So the next day when I came home from school, he was up, etc. And he said, well, at the dinner table, he said, very interesting what Hannes had to say. And he said he took some notes down out of his pocket, and he said, I wrote some notes down. Hannes said that the place that he skis at, and one of the most famous places in skiing, is a town called Zermatt, and that is at the base of the Matterhorn. And it turns out that Hannes' best friend in the mountains or the skiing or whatever is what he called a Bergführer, Dad read from his notes, and that is a mountain guide. And what he has done is he guides people up the Matterhorn. And he's done it maybe 100 times. And his name is Alphonse Franzen, he says. And Hannes got very excited, and he said he would ask Alphonse, what about your idea? And now this is getting almost strange now, because what are the odds of that? Well, it's unbelievable, really. But at any rate, a couple of weeks later, because there's no email in 1958, you have to write letters. And so Hannes got this letter back. He came over to the house. It was in German. He translated it. And the upshot of it was that Alphonse says, this is a very unusual request. The boy has absolutely no experience whatsoever. So what I will do, because it's a friendship involved, with his father. I will agree to guide the boy up the mountain as far as I think it is safe. And once I decide that we have to turn back, we turn back with no complaints on his part. And I instantly said, yes, yes, of course. Deal, deal. So I knew we were going to Europe, you see, because my father had talked the station management into paying for us to go to Europe to film a documentary, a series of an American family in Europe. Because, quite frankly, in 1958, going to Europe was very exotic. And he had also, my father had gotten a visa to go to Russia, to go to Moscow. And that is a really big deal in the height of the Cold War to bring an American family there. So the station said, sure, we'll do that. And so I knew we were having a free trip to Europe. So at any rate, we end up in Zermatt. And it is now September 1958. And I meet Alphonse, and Alphonse, the first thing he says, the weather report is not good. We have good weather for the next couple of days, and it is likely to close in. We have got to leave now. I'd just gotten there. No practice climbs, no nothing. I had to be outfitted with some clothes and some boots within an hour or two, and up we were on the ski lift. Boom, right away. No practice, no nothing. And the way you climb the Matterhorn, like any alpine climb, is you take if there's a ski lift, you can take a ski lift up to the lower slopes, and then you hike up to the base of the mountain to a hut. And you overnight at that hut, and you get up very early in the morning, and you climb the mountain to the summit and back in a matter of a few hours. The Matterhorn, you have to climb 4,000 feet straight up and straight back down in a very short period of time because the weather can change very rapidly. So now we are hiking up to the hut. It's called the Hornley Hut, up the Hornley Ridge of the Matterhorn. And so as Alphonse and I were talking, I said, Alphonse, do you think I have any chance? And Alphonse said, I don't know. How would I know? I don't know at all. And we walked a few more steps, and he said, I can tell you this, though. And he looked at me, and he said, your father thinks you can make it. So that bolstered me, but I didn't know how, because I was really nervous. But at any rate, so we sleep. We get up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no headlamps back in those days. You had to carry a lantern. Alphonse carried a lantern. And my job was simply to keep focused on Alphonse's feet. Don't let his feet get out of my sight at all. Follow his feet. Put your hands where his feet were, and follow him. That was my world for this climb. And we climbed higher and higher and higher and higher. And the sun starts coming down the face of the Matterhorn, and these gorgeous mountains behind us, like the Brighthorn and Castor and Pollux and Monte Rosa, all turn this rose-red pink with the snow. But I can't focus on this. I'm focused on Alphonse's feet. We put crampons on, never had crampons before. I'm roped to him, of course. And then there's fixed ropes at the Schultes ice field. And we get up and we keep going and we keep going and we keep going. Of course, I'm starting to run out of gas. And finally, we reach what's called the Hangover, the famous place where the first climbers, several of them fell to their deaths back in the 1800s. First climb, the Matterhorn was climbed. And we sit down. We haven't sat down in a long, long time. And we had like water. And Alphonse said, How are you feeling, Jack? And I said, well, I'm in there. And he said, well, I've noticed your legs are starting to go. And I thought, oh no. I said, but one thing I have noticed, you have never asked me how far is it to go. And I said, oh yes, I figured that was a bad idea. Not a good thing to ask you. So I just kept to myself. And he said, well, do you think you can make it another 300-400 feet? And he looked at me and said, there's the top right up there. So my word. Well, I had so much energy, I'm just bouncing off the rocks. And so we made it. And to my surprise, I discovered that the top of the Matterhorn is not a peak. It is a ridge. It's like a knife blade in the sky, about 100 feet long, with these drop-offs of thousands of feet on either side. And we're standing there, and I can't believe that I actually did this. I'm actually on top of the Matterhorn. And then I notice something very strange. I notice a small light plane seems to be flying around below the top. I said, Alphonse, look at that. There's a plane down there. And he said, yes, yes. And I looked at Alphonse, and he kind of smiled. And the plane flew off, and then to gain altitude, slowly, slowly, slowly. And I said, no, Alphonse. He said, yes, it's your father. What had happened is my father contracted with a glacier, very famous glacier pilot named Hans Geiger, to fly him to the top of the mountain, and asked Alphonse, if the boy makes it, about what time? And Alphonse said, about 11 o'clock. And so there's my father flying higher and higher and higher, wondering, and we get approach the top of the mountain, or he does, Hans Geiger and him, and he's wondering, will I be there? And yes, I was. And I'm waving, tears are streaming down my face. My dad is waving back with the camera running, waving with one hand, camera in the other. One of the most glorious moments of my life to this day. And that set me on the path that I wanted to be. I realized that you only have one life. Only one life. And people do things to make it special. Let's say they collect things. They collect stamps or porcelain or something like that. Or they have a hobby or they have a work or they do something. And I wanted my life, I wanted to collect magical experiences for my life. Because you can't take that away. You can lose your stamp collection. But you cannot take what you've done, what accomplishments you've had, what extraordinary life memorable experiences you've had. I wanted a life filled with that. And it set me on my path. Years and years later, 1980, as a matter of fact, my father was dying. He had cancer. He's in the hospital. And he couldn't speak. But so we were just holding hands, my left hand and his left hand. And his grip was firm. If he said something I said he understood, I could feel it, his strength and his grip. And the moment that we relived is that moment where he found me on top of the Matterhorn, us waving at each other. We shared that moment. And then he was gone. That was the moment that really means the most to me.